Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm Pat Sloan, and first up, I have Caroline Fairbanks from the website So Can She. It was first time I saw her website. Somebody sent me a link and said, "Look at this cool stuff," and you know, of course, I had to go check it out. And so, Caroline has. A new author, and her book is called Just For You, which she co-authored with Sarah Marcos. So, Caroline, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Pat. It's so great.
You know, I love your book. You guys did a really, really good job.
Thank you. It was a labor of love.
I think they all are. So tell me first, your website is called So Can She, and so being S-E-W, which I just love that. When did you start your website?
I started my website about 3 years ago. It just came about because I love to sew. I love sewing tutorials. Before that, I had a pattern company where I was making PDF patterns and selling them, and I reached a point where I wanted a bigger audience, but I wanted to share more for free and be more involved in just teaching people to sew and the beginners. And I love how online we can find almost anything. You can find so much, and so many people turn to the web for a resource. And I just wanted my website to be more of an online resource for people to turn to. So that's what So Can She is all about.
Ah, you know, that's a great package. You know, you came in with a really nice thought about what you wanted it to be, and I think you really succeed with that. You are a designer yourself, but you also share work from other people. Do people submit to you, or do you just go and ask them? How does that work?
Well, both. I feature a different sewing tutorial on the front page of my site every day in the left sidebar. And this is something that's not mine. I have a blog too that's attached, and I have my own, you know, sewing tutorials and sewing patterns and stuff. But the feature, the daily feature, is something that I found that I just want to share with my readers because I think it's awesome. And I do have a link where people can submit, and I probably get 30 submissions a day. I get lots of submissions.
Oh my.
But also, I love to surf the web. I love to find new stuff. And so a lot of it, too, is the stuff that I found. I often ask people for permission to feature them, although I never take any of their text. I just take a picture and link to them. So sometimes if I forget, then they will email me and they'll be like, "Wow, I had a huge jump in traffic today." And I tracked it back to you. Thank you so much. I've never had anyone get upset with me. I just get thank you emails, which I love. I love to be part of this community.
That is so wonderful to be able to share other people's work. And you do a really nice job of that because you also send out a newsletter so people can get it in their inbox. Tell me a little bit about your own personal design style. How would you describe the projects you like to design?
Well, quilting, if we talk about quilting, I consider myself a modern traditionalist. I love patchwork. I love to take the designs, patchwork designs from long ago, from the early start of quilting, and just put those traditional blocks together with new configurations, with new beautiful fabrics. We have such beautiful fabrics right now. And see what happens. See what happens when you put something old with something new. And so that's what I'd call myself in quilting, modern traditionalist. Maybe when it comes to clothes and other stuff too, I love to dress my girls in ruffly dresses and you know, but traditional mixed with new. I love it.
So let's talk a little bit about your book because it is. You know, it's not all of your designs. You know, it's a compilation, which I think is really fun because you have a whole, you know, it's really, you know, in my mind, that's what you are. You've come out to the, you know, to the quilt community as someone who curates wonderful projects. And so when you started on your book, it's called Just For You. How did you and Sarah decide to come up with projects for that?
We already have this community of great bloggers and great sewists at our fingertips, all these people that I'm in contact with every day. And Sarah, it was actually Sarah's idea. We were having a little mommy play date at Chick-fil-A, and she was just like, we should write a book. We should do this together. And I said, oh, what do we do? And we decided on Just For You because that was one of the most popular categories on my website is stuff to make for yourself, a little selfish sewing. And then we just sent out emails to everybody, to all the bloggers we knew, and said, you know, do you want to be in this book? Tell us your ideas. And we got the most amazing ideas. Like, we were just floored when bloggers that we knew, big, wonderful bloggers that we knew, emailed us back with these ideas for the book. And, of course, we have some designs of the book, too. But
that's neat.
We were just amazed to see.
Yeah,
what came
so once again, you were able to take it in and curate a group of things. It has a lot of projects like the title says that are made for yourself, which include quite a few garments and bags and you have all different materials. You know, there's knits and things like that.
Yeah.
Do you have like a favorite? I know I hate to ask that, but
I think I do. My favorite is the quilting bee dress, which is a dress that I designed. It's a very easy pattern. It's something that anybody can make. I love to make it with voile. I've made it with knit. I've made it with gauze fabric. In the book, it's made with quilting fabric. And it's just an easy dress with a little drawstring tie that you can throw together, wear to the pool, dress it up with with a necklace and wear it out. You know, easy to make, easy to wear. And I hope it's a project that a beginner or an intermediate sewist or someone who's only done quilts before and wants to try clothing can be successful at and can wear this and feel great. That's my goal with this. And besides, I have about 5 of them in my closet and I wear them all the time.
You know, I really think maybe you're hearing the same thing, Caroline. Are you hearing that people want to make clothing again? I mean, there's a whole group of people who made clothing and then stopped making clothing. And it seems like there's a resurgence.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I feel like people are getting back into sewing. They're doing it to save money, but they're also doing it because of the joy that we feel when we make something with our own hands, something useful, you know, something that we can wear or show other people. I absolutely think lots of people, I mean, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I agree. It's like you can add your creativity to it with the fabrics that you love and that, you know, may not be available in the store. So it's that's a really great idea to have a sort of a starter dress, something anybody can do in your book. Super nice, super nice. You also have bags in this book.
Tote bags. Oh, yeah. Scarf, skirt. Yeah, a little bit of everything to make for yourself.
Very nice. Now I want to switch gears a little bit. I asked you for something like a little tip, and you told me that you personally worked on sort of mastering partial seams.
I was thinking about your audience. I know you have a lot of quilters out there, and the story behind this is right now hexagons are so big. You know, everybody loves hexagons. But most of the time, that's used with hand quilting and hand sewing because the 6 sides are kind of tricky to do with the sewing machine. So looking at that, I thought, gosh, this would make such a cute pot holder. And I was thinking of the little log cabin design with strips around the side. And I know that there's got to be other people who have taught a similar technique, but for me, for myself, I just sat down and I figured it out, and it wasn't that hard. It was actually really easy. And it fits together kind of like a puzzle, you know. When it's finished, you feel so good, like you put a puzzle together. But I think other people who don't sew will look at it and be like, wow, that looks so hard. You know, don't we love it when that happens?
Yes.
So I put together a little tutorial, and I made this little pot holder out of it. And you can totally make it in like 20 minutes. And I put it out there on my blog, and I was surprised that people loved it. And suddenly I started getting people emailing me pictures of their pot holders and posting them on Facebook. And it was just really fun. It was really gratifying to me to see that other people responded to my technique and my tutorial in that way, too.
What I really like about your tutorial, Caroline, is that you do multiple partial seams to – I mean, by the time you're done with this, you've done several, and that way, don't you think it really clicks then? So you've got it by the end.
Yeah, by the end, it's easy. You can move on to something more complicated by the end. Yeah, no problem. And it looks so cute in the hexagon shape. So,
it does. Yeah. It is really, really cute. You also told me you have something coming up. Oh, wait. I'm just kidding. We only have a few seconds, but you have another feature for Classic Blocks. Can you just tell me how people find that?
Yes, real quick. I have a blog series called Classic Blocks Fresh Fabric, and it is sponsored by Blend Fabric. So we get to do a fabric bundle giveaway each month. And the first Monday of each month, I post a tutorial of a classic block, such as the orange peel block or the Flying Dutchman or what have you. We've been doing it for a year now, so there's already 12 tutorials up there, and it's just a classic block. And in order to enter, you just have to make one, any fabric, any size, and post, give us a picture or email me a picture or put it on our Facebook group. And then it's a random one. We want everybody to enter, so the random giveaway of all the people who post a picture of their block, and it's been really, really fun. It's been really awesome to see all the different variations, all the blocks that come up.
Oh, Caroline, that is so nice. And I'm going to go check that out because I hadn't had time to see it. And I thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Pat. It's been awesome.
Everybody can visit SoCanShe.com and check out Caroline Fairbanks and Sarah Marcos's book, Just For You. We'll be back right after the break.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Like American Patchwork and Quilting on Facebook for daily quilting inspiration, tips, and giveaways. Find us at facebook.com/APQ Magazine. See our editors share their tips, ideas, and techniques by visiting allpeoplequilt.com and clicking on videos.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
Follow American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ Magazine to join the fun.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilt Things podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Alexandra Ledgerwood is the author of a book called Improvising Tradition. She is also the writer behind T. Jenny Designs. She's an amazing designer and has all kinds of really neat stuff that we're going to talk about today. So thank you for being here, Alexandra.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Pat.
You know, first tell me a little bit about how you discovered quilt making.
Well, I come from a family of women sewists, but there are no quilters in my family. And so it was actually a friend of my mother's who taught me when I was in high school.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there's always, isn't it always interesting how people learn? Do you ask the people that a lot? I do.
I do. And, quilting was something that I had always wanted to learn how to do. And so it was wonderful to learn from this lady's name was Drusy Knockstein, and she had made, I don't know, dozens and dozens of beautiful hand-pieced, hand-quilted quilts.
Oh. And did you approach her, or did she think you might like doing this, so asked you if you wanted to?
My mom actually told her that I was interested in learning after seeing all of her beautiful quilts.
Isn't that the connectors, right?
That's right.
So tell me your style. You know, what did you, you know, did you learn traditional, and your work is based on tradition now, but how did you sort of flow from the beginning?
Well, I was taught traditionally, and the first few quilts that I made were very traditional in style. I would say that where I made a transition into more improvisational piecing and more modern quilting was when I made a baby quilt for my first son. Mm-hmm. I wanted to make something that was inspired by the country where he was born, which is Korea. And Korea has a traditional patchwork style called pojagi, which is really interesting and very often made improvisationally. And so that's where I got my start in improvisation.
Oh, I have never heard of that. Now I'm going to have to go look that up.
Yeah, look it up. Oh, you'll go down the rabbit trail. It's amazing and beautiful.
Oh, and are there, can you describe it a little bit, and say the word again?
Yes, it's pojagi, and it's spelled different ways, but you can find it. I actually have a Pinterest board. If anybody is on Pinterest, they can find me there, T. Jenny. And it's actually not quilted. It's just patchwork, and it's done with hidden seams. So there are no raw edges, and there's a back and a front, but there you see no raw edges either side. So all of the raw edges are hidden inside the seams. And what's beautiful about it is they often hang it in windows. Because there's no batting and no backing, it's very transparent, and it highlights the seams and the piecing. It's beautiful.
That is cool. Okay, so I'm going to go look at it at your board, which everybody can get to Alexandria's board via her website, tjennydesigns.blogspot.com. She's got her Pinterest button there. So
that's right.
Yes. I've taught everybody how to find this because they're all going to be, we're going to be like crash Pinterest later. So when you really started, you know, making quilts, you found some communities, in-person communities. And what is that like for you where you live? What kind of people do you sew with?
Oh, I am really lucky to be in Kansas City. It's a hub for lots of really great quilters, you know, some you can find online who have written books and some who, you know, don't use the Internet at all for their quilting, and you just meet them at Guild. I'm part of the Kansas City Modern Quilt Guild, which got started just by a group of people in the area finding each other online first. Mm-hmm. So I knew people like Jackie Gehring and Shay Henderson and Lauren Hunt. I knew them from their blogs. And so going to the first meeting was really fun. It kind of felt like you knew people already. And it's a wonderful community. We have our guild meetings, but then also sew-ins and retreats and different challenges in the guild. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, the community part of it is so amazing online, but it's just a different feel when you go in person. You can actually smile and touch somebody's stuff, and you know it's always I always think it's like, oh, I just can't wait to go and see, you know, everybody's working on.
Exactly. And so we have such a warm, friendly group that we're really welcoming to people of all skill levels, and I know I learn a lot from the other people there.
Yeah. What would you suggest? I know that, you know, I teach at a lot of guilds. You know, I travel, I teach, and I'll talk to people online who have never ventured out to find in-person groups. Do you have a tip for how to sort of, you know, I wouldn't say break in, but how to approach, you know, going to a meeting for the first time? Because it could be a little scary when you don't know anybody.
It can. I'm always reaching out to people that I find online to come visit our guild, and that's one way to do it. Find somebody in your area, maybe on Flickr or Instagram or Facebook, that's in a guild near you. Look for a guild near you and try to find somebody that way. I can guarantee you, if you email another quilter about being interested in their guild, they're going to be so excited, and they'll really welcome you. You might even get to go together. I know a lot of new people come to our guild with people that they've met online, and they've sort of took them under their wing and bring them. And, you know, guilds are just all about people who share a love of quilting, so there's nothing to be scared of. It's a wonderful place to meet people who have something really in common with you.
That's a really good suggestion, too, because most of the guilds have a website, and a lot of them have
right.
actually a blog or now Facebook groups or Facebook pages.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's really much, much easier to make that prior connection.
Yeah, so that, and that's nice.
Yeah, so somebody's watching for you, you know, that you're coming in. You
exactly.
say, I'm going to wear a pink rose tonight. So
right.
Oh, I'm going to switch gears here just a little bit. You and I talked prior, and you told me that you really do love to sew with scraps. And, you know, that is like a passion for so many people. Do you personally have a system for your scraps?
I do. I keep them organized mostly by color. Mm-hmm. I have plastic bins that are clear so I can see, you know, what's in each bin, and I separate them by color. Then I also separate them by size a little bit, so like long, narrow strips I keep separate from, you know, larger chunks. And I find that that's really key into actually using them.
Mm-hmm.
If I can see them and I know what's in there, it's easy to take down a few bins and work that way.
Oh, okay, yeah. And for me, if something is put away where I can't ever see it, it's like it doesn't exist anymore.
Exactly.
Do you use your scraps in all of the quilts that you make, or, you know, because I know for the book, when we start talking about that, there are a lot of pieces, so that really seems to lend itself to scraps.
Right. I do use scraps in a lot of my quilts, but I find that when I'm using scraps, I almost do like an entirely scrap-made quilt.
Mm.
And when I'm doing a design, I usually am more conscientious about choosing particular fabrics for that design. So I would say when I'm using scraps, it's mostly in a scrappy quilt.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, I think a lot of people work like that. I mean, there are appliqueers who will go and find, you know, little reds for berries or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So when you started designing, you have published patterns. You created a site, Teach Any Designs. Did you do that for your business or did you have it before?
I had that before. I just started that as a blog. When I first started having kids, I was at home and I was enjoying blogs so much that I wanted to get involved. And so that's what I titled my first blog.
Ah, I love the names, how all the names come up. And
yes.
There's always a story back there, right? There's always a story.
There is. That actually was my nickname. I had a Scottish great-grandmother, mm-hmm. and she called me her wee tea Jenny. The tea Jenny is the person who pours the tea at tea time. And I always wanted that job, so that was my nickname.
And your logo has a teacup, which
is
all patchwork. It's so cool. Okay, so now that all, like, click, 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 it all goes together. All right, so I want to talk about your book a little bit, and then we'll end up taking a break here in a minute or so, and then we'll finish, and then we'll talk more about your book. But I wanted to start out because I read the beginning of your book, and I absolutely love it.
Thanks.
Just so you know where I came from is like years ago, many, many years ago, I took a 4-day workshop with Nancy Crow, who was a contemporary quilt maker at that time. They called it contemporary. There was no mm-hmm. word for improvisational. Nobody did that. I mean, that mm-hmm. word wasn't used yet. But it just so many things went click, click, click when I was reading about your book. So I just got very, very excited. You have done a wonderful job outlining your process. And so I'm really excited to have you tell me about it. Let's first start on just explain improvisational to you, you know, what you do, because everybody's so personal on it.
Right. That's true. Well, when I improvise, I usually have a goal or an overall design in mind before I start. Mm-hmm. And as I'm piecing, I'm working towards that design. You know, I'm allowing for, you know, some randomness and some serendipity as I'm piecing, with, mm-hmm. but it's within an overall structure. And so that's really what the book is trying to show you how to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that is, I think, an approach that's real doable for people who are used to having the design there already.
Right.
Because it's hard to just have a blank sheet of paper or a blank wall that you're going to start sticking things on if you've never done it before.
It is. It's intimidating. And I really wanted to show quilters how to do improvisation in a way that's approachable and easy to follow, and so it doesn't get sort of wild and out of control. The quilts in the book are patterns, and there are pieces within them that are improvised.
Yeah, that is the, I think, the best part. It's like a great kickoff, but it's also, I think, great for people who have done this before, because you have some really unique approaches and ideas. Can you tell me a little bit about why you like, and we have about 30 seconds, like, why do you like the improv style?
I like it because it lets me be creative, and I can sit down and make something that I can see in my mind, and I can make it become a reality. There's not a pattern already that exists mm-hmm. for what I have in my mind. And so that's what I enjoy about it, is the creativity.
Wonderful. Okay, Alexandria, we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the projects in there and some approaches, and you have some tips. So we'll be right back.
Great, thanks.
Boost your sewing skills from start to finish with daily tips from the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting. Visit tips.allpeoplequilt.com for inspiration. This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. Set yourself up to stitch a little every day. When you finish stitching, before putting everything away, rethread your needle and take the first stitch. Then the next time you pull out your project, you'll be ready to sit down and start stitching.
Hi, I'm Linda Augsburg. Join me in 2015 for a brand new video series called Show Me How, brought to you by Baby Lock. Each month, I'll show you how to complete a simple project from start to finish. Learn new techniques, see tips, and sew a great project. Visit allpeoplequilt.com/videos to watch.
Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and we are talking with Alexandra Ledgerwood of Teach Any Designs. So, Alexandra, I liked how you laid out in the front of your book, Improvising Tradition, all the sort of techniques. So you're giving us the different techniques. Can you just tell me what a couple of them are?
Yes, there are three main techniques in the book. And the first one is sewing with strips, and then there's slice and insert, as well as creating strata.
Now, what is strata? Explain that.
Strata is where you are piecing your own fabric. You could call it crazy quilting, or it's also called slabs, or that sort of thing. So it's using various pieces of fabric, piecing them all together, and then doing something with that fabric that you've made.
Okay, so like made fabric. So you're taking
That's
all
right.
of those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of the scraps and things that you have all organized, nice and neat. Going to use them up.
That's right.
finally use our scraps. When you were making this book or thinking about the projects in it, did you sort of have some stuff in mind, or did you develop everything just specifically for the, you know, like as the book was going? How does that work for you as a designer?
Well, I worked closely with my publisher. I had a number of designs in mind, and then it was more a matter of sort of rounding out the book. What other kinds of projects could we add? Because I had the three sections of the book already mm-hmm. in mind.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yes, so you had that structure, and you knew you'd do pieces to show how to do all those.
Yeah, I wanted to show how you can take one technique, and then there are so many different ways you can vary it to create mm-hmm. very different effects.
Now, when you work personally, like I love the game day throw because I think it's it melds exactly what your title says because they're basically like log cabins mm-hmm. and then floated on well, you describe it. They're floated on large strips, right?
That's right. So I call that color block background. And that's right. So it looks like the log cabins are floating above a striped background. And it's a fun technique. It's really foolproof, even though it looks kind of complicated. So not only are the log cabin blocks themselves improvised, but the way that they're inserted into the background is also improvised. So they're staggered in a sort of random fashion that you can do in the way that pleases your eye the most.
When you're designing something like that, you know, let's say you were doing it not necessarily for the book, so you didn't have to write directions,
mm-hmm.
you know, so yeah, that's always more complicated.
Right.
But, you know, as the person, the quilt maker who is making this from your book, when you're collecting fabrics for a piece like this, yours are very cohesive color wise.
Mm-hmm.
How do you approach that, getting the colors together?
Well, I wanted the value of the log cabins to be darker than the background so that they mm-hmm. would stand out. So that's something you keep in mind is how you can make the background there but subtle enough that the attention is on the blocks. And then I wanted masculine colors. So I was looking at, you know, different shades of blue. So I have sort of a teal and sort of an aqua and mm-hmm. then brown. And then I just looked in my stash, you know, what do I have here that's available? That's an argument for the stash, right?
Right. That's right. You have to have, you can't just live on scraps alone. You have
that's
to have
right.
some new stuff to throw in there. Now,
yeah.
when you want to lay these out, because you explain how to do this, you know, to work as you go, the improvisational part, will
mm-hmm.
you put them all up on the design wall?
Yes. I use my design wall a lot when I improvise. It's wonderful for experimenting. You know, can move things around without having committed to sewing them together yet.
And then when you go to sew the units on this particular one, because this it looks more like a horizontal project
yes.
visually, is that how you approach sewing it?
That's right. It's sewn in rows. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, that's it's great. It is so great. Another one that I thought we could just talk about a little bit from your book is how you work with a lot of solids because
mm-hmm.
Looking through the book, there's lots and lots of solids. Is that something of your normal work style or is that maybe what you did just for this book?
That's probably just my normal work style. I think that solids are a wonderful way to really highlight a design. They make they make the design the primary thing that you notice about the quilt, I find.
Mm-hmm. And and you do have lots of prints in here. It's not like there
mm-hmm.
aren't prints, but there are sometimes a heavier proportion of solids to prints. How do you select the fabrics that go together with the solids that you want? I mean, do you use more tone-on-tone prints, or how do you think about your prints?
I do. I love tone-on-tone prints. I'm always looking for them because they add, you know, the nice variety that prints do to a quilt, but they don't mess with the value mm-hmm. of the prints, which I think is some trap that quilters fall into a lot. Is they have, oh, I love this red fabric, but it's got a variety of other colored flowers on it, and then when you look at it from afar, it doesn't read as red.
Mm-hmm,
so I
mm-hmm.
like tone-on-tones for that reason, because when you see them from afar in a quilt, they read as that same one color.
Ah, okay. So do you put the fabric, like, far away when you happen to be looking at it? Like, if it has some other colors and you're trying to determine, is it going to work? Do you stick it up on your design wall? Or?
That's right. I'll put all the fabrics up together and see which ones are working and which aren't.
Okay. So, like, if something stands out, then you might remove it and see if the palette's more cohesive?
That's right. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Neat. Yeah, I don't stick as the big pieces up there, but I probably should. You know, it's like big, lots of pins, right? To stick a big...
Right, or you know, I mean, you can put them on the floor and just walk across the room. Mm-hmm. They don't necessarily have to be up on the design wall.
Good to know. So tell me a little bit about your slice and insert. What is that all about?
That is actually a variation on the same technique that we just talked about with the log cabin quilt, the game day throw. Mm-hmm. So it's taking the same technique of having a striped background, and then you're going to slice that striped background and insert something. So what you insert could be a block, like a log cabin block in that throw, or it could just be a rectangle of a single color. And so it's a really fun technique. You can have more than two stripes in the background. You can have multiple stripes, and the technique works the same. So I've played around a lot with that. You can see a couple of variations on my blog.
Okay. That sounds like it's fun to do. Like it'd be a lot of...
Very fun.
Yeah. Now, you have a section on your site called tutorials. Would it be in that area?
Yeah, that's a great idea. I can put it in there. They're not necessarily tutorials, but they are examples of variations on that technique.
Okay. All right. Just so people, when they go there, if they have some place to look.
Mm-hmm.
Also, one more thing in the book. Tell me about the mirrored... it's called Mirrored Sunset because you have applique on there. I love the applique.
There is. Oh, thanks. Well, congratulations on your new book on the whole subject.
Oh, thank you.
This is actually a needle turn project, although you could use fusible mm-hmm. applique for it. It is showing you how you can use strata as a background for another design. So in this case, the background is all stratas, pieced fabric, and then the applique is set on top of that. So the background is sort of a subtle area of interest, but the applique really stands out because of the contrasting colors. And I did this like Hawaiian applique, which you know is you fold the fabric and then cut the design like you're cutting paper snowflakes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, neat. Yeah, it's just gorgeous. I'm like, oh, I like that. All right, so after we've made the top, Miss Alexandria, you have to quilt it. And you quilt a lot of your own pieces, right?
I do. I actually quilted everything in the book.
Wow, what a woman. Oh, my goodness.
Well, none of them are larger than a twin. That's where I sort of draw the line. Mm-hmm. If it's bigger than a twin-size quilt, I will usually have it professionally quilted because I have a very small domestic machine.
So, but the quilting is absolutely gorgeous. Everybody can do wonderful quilting on a domestic machine. What style of quilting do you usually like to add? Like curves or straight lines?
I love straight lines, particularly for really modern designs, but I do a lot of free motion quilting as well. And I feel like the more you do it, the better you get. Even looking at the quilts in the book, I think, oh, I could do that better now, you know, and it's just been 2 years since I made those. So I really encourage people to keep working at their free motion skills.
Yeah, definitely. It's not something that comes immediately, but once you have it, you can always just pick it up. It's like, you know, riding a bike, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, but you have to get to that point. It's like a mind memory thing. So if you don't do it enough in the beginning, it really takes a while. You have to.
It really does. And I had so many people at Guild really encourage me, you know, every quilt, you'll get a little bit better and a little bit better. And it's true.
Now, I have a question because you do a lot of straight line. And I think for a lot of people, particularly if they want to get that look where the lines are very close,
mm-hmm.
You know how it can pleat or not pleat, but it like pulls and then it's not
right.
like it doesn't look even. Do you have a tip for controlling that?
I have a tip. Let's see. What I would do if you're doing straight lines is to try to work in the same direction. So if you're quilting down the quilt and then you turn the quilt and go back up, then you can get that sort of ripple effect.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
if you're working on the quilt, I would suggest starting at the top and quilting down and then go back to the top and quilt down instead of turning the quilt and going back the opposite way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, because when you turn and go the opposite direction, then that's where the pull is coming.
And then I would also suggest, if you're doing really dense straight line quilting, not to start out with all of the lines really close together, but to do them several inches apart to begin with. So to quilt the whole quilt, maybe a line every 3 or 4 inches. and then go back and half that distance, and then go back and half that distance, so that you don't get the quilt sort of spreading and pulling mm-hmm. as you go along.
Mm-hmm. That's also a very good tip. Do you spray based? Would that help?
I don't usually spray based. I pin based, but spray basting might help with that.
Yeah, I haven't tried it with spray basting personally, so I was wondering. It just popped into my head. So
Maybe so.
I asked you earlier, what was your favorite sort of category at American Patchwork and Quilting Magazine's website? What do you like to look at when you go over there?
I love videos. I think mm-hmm. videos are so powerful for teaching, because you can really see someone as they do it, and it can teach you things that reading and looking at pictures really can't. So I love looking at the quilting videos.
Yeah. And we have lots of videos over there. So, So tell me, Alexandria, when you go to a quilt show, what are you attracted to when you get there?
I always am looking for something different. That's one of the things I really like about improv quilts, is that there's always something unexpected about them, or something that complicates a design that would otherwise be really sort of obvious. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I think there are lots of beautiful traditional quilts as well. But personally, I'm always looking for something that just stands out in some way.
So it might be color, or it might be composition?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you have a quilt that's sort of on your list to make? Do you think, I'm a quilt maker, I need to make this?
I do, and, I don't follow patterns a lot, but there's one that is really on my list. I need to start it right away. I know you know how that feels. And it's the Ariel Grove quilt in Carolyn Friedlander's book, Savor Each Stitch. Have you seen that quilt?
Yes.
Oh, it's beautiful. It has all of these improv little circles, like she's seeing a grove from the air, a grove of mm-hmm. trees, and so all the little, like little blobs, they're all irregularly shaped, and she's done a gradation of colors. Oh, it's so mm-hmm. beautiful.
Oh, okay. So there's your goal for this year. See, I'll give you the whole year to do that.
Oh,
so.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. That's Well, Alexandria, this has been wonderful to spend time with you. Learning about your style. Thank you for sharing with all of us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure, Pat. I'd
like you to go out and visit Alexandria at tginnydesigns.blogspot.com. Pick up her book, Improvising Tradition, 18 Quilted Projects Using Strips, Slices, and Strata. This show is brought to you by Moda Fabrics. So we are going to take a little break, and we'll be right back.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts & More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. To maintain consistency when piecing, keep your eye on the spot where the needle enters the fabric, not the needle going up and down.
Hi, I'm Linda Augsburg, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making pillowcases and creating smiles. For people who love to sew or quilt, it's so easy to lift spirits and bring smiles to hospitalized kids, homeless families, and others in need. Simply join American Patchwork and Quilting Magazine's 1 Million Pillowcase Challenge. Make one, two, or more pillowcases and donate them in your local community. You'll create just as many smiles. Join the movement today. Find complete details, download free patterns, and record your donations online at allpeoplequilt.com/million pillowcases.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I am just so excited to talk to Rebecca Danger. She has got sewing and knitting, and I think she's doing this like since birth or maybe before. And so it was very exciting when her book came out, Baby Says So. which is just full of adorable projects. So we're going to be talking about those with Rebecca. Hi, Rebecca. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
You know, when did you actually start sewing? Do you remember?
I do. I was a little girl, probably about 7 or 8, and I used to pull out my mom's old 70s Kenmore and attempt to make doll clothes for my stuffed animals, but I had no idea what I was doing, and I didn't include seam allowances, so nothing ever fit, and I jammed the sewing machine like every 7 stitches. It was great.
But you just kept at it.
I did, and then in high school, I had a really good friend who was an amazing quilter, and she sat down and actually taught me how to sew, so I actually know what I'm doing at this point.
Did you sew clothing too?
I actually, when I got out of high school, I started a handmade handbag business, and I ran that for 7 or 8 years. So I'm really good at bags. I can sew clothes too, but I'm really good at sewing handbags.
Well, for your book, they're very nicely done. I mean, I think that comes from just your experience with making finished goods to sell, because you're working at a totally different level when you're repeating, right?
Right, for sure.
Yeah. So Baby Says So, I just love that name. and your tagline on it is 20 practical, budget-minded, baby-approved projects. Now, you have little children. You have boys, right?
I do, two boys.
Two boys. And when did you start this book, like, in your mind, like, before you had your children, or did this stuff start, like, clicking with you when they started being part of your life?
When I was pregnant with my first son, Presley, he'll be 4 in a month, I decided to make a nursery for him. And that actually turned into a knitting book. But since I was doing a custom theme, I was having a hard time finding things that matched, like sheets and changing mat covers, because a lot of the baby stuff is pink and blue and neutrals, and I was doing really bright colors. So I ended up sewing pretty much everything in his nursery, and my publisher knew I had done that. So after I had finished some other books, they asked if I wanted to do a baby sewing book too. So that's how this one came about.
So are the adorable babies in here yours, or?
They're not. I was between babies. I was actually at the photo shoot with these guys, and I was, 8.5 months pregnant and with my, what was he then, 2-year-old. So
yeah.
Yeah, they were just missed out. But my nursery knitting book, that's my son in all of those pictures.
Oh, that's cool. That's very cool.
It's really cool.
So let's talk a little bit about the projects in here, because I think that they are so doable, and that I love the layout. One of the things that you put in here, Rebecca, is a skill level. That, I think, is super important. Why did you feel that was a good thing to add?
When I did, I wanted everything really doable and easy, because if you're pregnant or a new mom or even sewing for somebody who has babies, you don't want to put a ton of time in all the time for the project. So I found as I was sewing through all the samples for the book, I would judge how long I had to work on something by how long my son Presley was down for a nap. So we ended up judging the skill level and marking the skill level by how many nap times something would take you.
Oh.
Which is fun.
That's perfect. That's what that is, because there's little faces that show the baby sleeping. It's so cute.
Yep.
Okay, so how many nap times? You could just squeeze in, race in there, and do it. Well, let's talk about a couple of the projects. And because you're very skilled at designing bags, I thought maybe we would talk about one of the sort of bag-like projects. I like the one that you called Diapers a Go-Go, because it's small and the concept of it is different and usable. Tell me about that one.
Well, I'm sure anybody who has babies or is around babies gets pretty tired of hauling the diaper bag with them. And I found that if I was running to the grocery store just for milk, I didn't want to pack like I was going on an Arctic expedition. So I would try and just take the diapers and wipes, but I wanted something that would work, that was specifically for that, because everything I had was either too small or too big. And so I designed the diapers a go-go, and it works great. I keep one in the car now. So there's always diapers at hand.
Yeah, it's just a tiny little pouch, which you also have a changing mat in it, right?
Right, right. Yeah.
Perfect, yep. Perfect, perfect. Now, the other part that I just was very intrigued with is the sort of repurposing and using of some of the other types of fabrics. So, like, one of the great things you had in there was baby leg warmers from socks, right?
Right, from knee-high socks.
Oh, my gosh. So how does that work? I mean, how did you think of that?
I had my son Presley, my oldest, was really teeny tiny when he was a baby. And so we were using the, I think they call them baby legs, is one of the brands. Mm-hmm. And they're really expensive. They're like $14 a pair for basically a pair of socks. And so I was at, I think, Target and saw some socks in there for $1.50 and realized the baby legs were basically just the leg of the sock. And so I bought some and took them home and cut them up. And $1.50 is a lot better than $14. So,
oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And are they hard to sew? I mean, I've never sewed on sock material.
They're probably the easiest project in the book. And socks are super forgiving because they're so thick, the knit fabric, that the stitches basically just disappear into them. Easy to sew with too.
So you do have a few other knit projects in there. Do you need to change a needle out for that?
For the socks, I just went ahead with like a sharp needle because the knit fabric's so loose. I wasn't too concerned about it. But for the other, there's like a hat and some pants. I use the knit needles instead of a sharp needle. I find it works a little bit better.
Okay, so there's actually, I don't work with knits myself very much, so there's actually some special needles that help you, right, to
right, go through. Right, there are.
Yeah. Do you use cotton thread, or are you using like a blend or a poly? Or
I still use cotton thread, and it seems just fine.
Just fine, okay.
The hats in the book, I have washed those through two kids now, and they're still in great shape. So, yeah. I think cotton's fine.
Is there a project in here? I ask authors this a lot, and they always cringe. Do you have one you made in here that's a favorite?
I have to say my favorite is the toy bin. Oh. We have them. I have one in my little boy's room and one in my older son's room. Yeah. And we have one in the living room, and I think I'm going to make some more because they are just so handy, and you just toss everything in, and then if the kids want to play, the sides push down and they can see what's in the bin to pull it out. I love those.
Ah, that sounds really useful, and they also are squishy a little bit, so if you need to, you know, move around and all that kind of good stuff. Oh,
and they have handles on them too, which is great with the kids.
Yeah. Now, you also have a few projects that are, I think, very tactile. You know, tell me about one of those that, you know, you have one that's a pocket blanket, but maybe you have another one that's you'd like to share about.
One of my other favorites is the hooded towel. I actually just pulled the little guy out of the bathtub last night and wrapped him up in that. Mm-hmm. And I really like the idea of being able to make some of the everyday items you use, because then you can wrap your kids up in handmade, and there's a lot of love that goes into that. And I really like using something that I've made every day.
Yeah, and you could also color coordinate them if you like.
Yes, that's actually what I really like. But yes.
So do you have a tip for maybe new moms that, you know, are trying to fit in this sewing and they've got little ones? You know, I mean, it's got to be, you have one little thing you can throw them.
It can be really hard. My older son has some special needs and we're in therapy with him 4 days a week and I'm driving an hour each way to therapy. So just finding time to sew can be hard. But what I find is, if I'm flexible on what I'm making, I can generally figure out something that I can do around them. Right now I'm working on a quilt with some appliques on it. So like I can cut the freezer paper out, around them, and then I can, I generally don't use the iron around them since they'll come grab the cord, but there are things that I can do. And the more flexible, you know, I can do a couple stitches in something while the kids are up, but maybe not sit down and sew everything together. So just being flexible, which is probably just being a mom in general, is being flexible.
Right. Being kind to yourself too.
Yes, for sure.
Don't try to do the massive Baltimore album while your baby is 6 months old. Yeah.
That's probably a good idea. I actually started writing my nursery book, my sewing nursery, or no, wrong one, knitting nursery book when my son, right when he was born, about 2 weeks, the first one. And that was a horrible idea. So don't do that.
Best tip ever. Small projects from Rebecca. Rebecca, this has been so much fun. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
You can visit Rebecca at rebeccadanger.typepad.com and check out her knitting books as well. This is American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Visit us at allpeoplequilt.com. You can visit me at patsloan.com and then sign up for our newsletters, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for